Welcome to Profiling Criminal Minds. I'm Dan.
And I'm Dr. Redmond.
And oh boy, did we watch more of Criminal Minds Beyond Borders.
Yes, and as you were wont to say, those sure were some pieces of television.
they definitely were episodes of television. I'm not going to pretend they weren't.
No, they were. May I ask you the question that I also asked you sort of yesterday, and then
please,
we thought we should leave the discussion, which is, who the hell greenlit this program?
I don't know. This show?
Unbelievable.
So I'm gonna do a little callback to the third season of Criminal Minds, and I don't remember the title of the episode. It's not important what the title of the episode is, because I'm gonna tell you the plot of the episode, and then everybody's gonna know what I'm talking about. It was the episode where Andrew Divoff, beloved genre stalwart Andrew Divoff, played the head of a family of gypsies who would, kidnap and murder people, right? Women, so that his, sons would have wives. And there's no gentle way to put this. I called it the most offensive episode of Criminal Minds in history, because it was literally an episode about blood libel, which is the technical term. It's mostly used for,
Jews
and accusing them of ritualistic murder of Christians to justify their execution. But in the same way, this blood libel was used against gypsies. Right? The Roma people, who are derisively called gypsies by, racists, but I'm using it for clarity's sake. But anyway, it is important to remember that we never use that term when you're not discussing its, racist use. But the point is, the Roma people have been the victims of this exact blood libel of being accused of murdering people and stealing children and blah, blah, blah. Like, that is historically inextricably linked from the persecution of Roma. And by the way, this is the kind of blood libel that was used against the Roma people to justify their inclusion in the Holocaust, which they were Holocausted just like the Jews were by the Nazis all throughout Europe. It was brutal and horrific. So I called that one of the most offensive episodes of television I'd ever seen. It was unbelievably disgusting, and I was shocked that it was allowed to be made. And that is every episode of this show.
So far.
I mean, I think the only episode, five is the only episode that hasn't been about how these depraved cultural practices of these inferior people lead them to murder white Americans. Like, that is every episode of this show. And it's disgusting. But just the idea that they took the worst, the most offensive episode of Criminal Minds and did an entire show built around exploiting the same kind of racism and xenophobia that episode was built on. And they're like, let's make that the whole show. And like you say, who greenlit this? Who thought this was okay? It's shocking, right? Like, I'm so freaked out by this show as I watch it. I don't get... Anyway, let's get into the actual episodes rather than me just being baffled that these episodes exist. Episode 4, Japan. I was going to ask you to do the synopsis. Of course, you don't have one. A bunch of Americans commit weird suicides. Weird, specifically Japanese-related suicides in Tokyo. And they, just because three Americans are dead in 3 weeks, how incredibly unlikely that is that they all committed suicide, especially when none of them was in any way suicidal or looking like they had any problems in their lives, the team is sent to investigate, and it's a local serial killer. Okay, so that's the premise.
Oh, he was the justice, but I don't even think they called him a justice serial killer.
Oh, you mean a guy who is worried about an injustice collector is what the term they use over and over again on Criminal Minds.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess he was kind of, because he was mad about a corporation redeveloping his area and all of the people abandoning that area, he felt were helping the corporation, so he was murdering the people.
Well, yeah, because his parents committed suicide.
Yeah, because his parents committed suicide because they were losing their home and business to an evil corporation.
Yes, and, so yeah. You could call him a... Oh, by the way, that episode was just in case people are looking for it, season 4. And it was number 13, and it was called Bloodline.
Oh, okay. Again, should have been called Blood Libel. That's another thing. Bloodline, thank you. Okay, season 4, not season 3. Season 3 is where Limelight is. That's why I was thinking of that.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that.
Just thought I would...
No, I'm glad you told me. I'm 100% glad you told me. All right, so let's get into this one. So first off, the first thing that really bothered me about the show... And there's more than one thing. But the first thing that really bothered me about the show was the way they kind of, like, they talked about how, like, suicide is an a characteristically Japanese thing. And it's like, you know, the Japanese consider suicide to be an art form and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, 6 people a day kill themselves in Tokyo. And I'm like, so I just looked it up. Yeah, 5 people a day kill themselves in New York. Like, that's not...
Yeah, no. That's exactly what you have to do.
Yeah, I went and I looked it up, and it's like, yeah, 5 people a day kill themselves in New York, and there's 2 million more people in Tokyo than there are in New York. So, honestly, if they per capita it's almost exactly the same. There is a slight high... per capita, there is an incredibly slightly higher number of people killing themselves in Tokyo than New York.
No.
It is no per capita. It is slightly higher in Tokyo. I did run the numbers,
but
it's only slight. Like, it is only a slight number higher. The point is, it's not characteristically. Yeah, we hear about a lot of suicide in Japan, but you know that's just. A thing, and that's, I guess, kind of what the whole show is based on. It's like the most facile observations about a country is what they base it on. Yeah, we hear a lot of news stories about people killing themselves in Japan, but the fact is, you know, as they say, what is it, 20-some former veterans in America kill themselves every week? And like, it's this obscenely high number, 20-some veterans every week are killing themselves. And you don't do episodes of television about how the army, I mean, maybe you should, but you know, nobody's doing episodes of television about how the U.S. Army is the number one cause of suicide in America. Even though, mathematically, it sure as hell seems that way. But because Japan has this cultural association with suicide, they're comfortable doing a TV show episode that implies, if not outright states, that suicide is an integral part of the Japanese character. And I find that incredibly offensive.
Oh, it was just terrible. It's because of the hara-kiri thing. It's the samurai thing.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that
get dishonored and they have to...
That got this, you know, somehow or another became one of these fascinations of the West.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, and you're right, that's what they wrote about. That you had these samurai, and rather than be dishonored, they would. And so, of course, they make movies about it. And of course, they make all of, you know, and then the Tora Tora guys. And
yeah, and the kamikaze.
Yeah, you know, and, you know, so you
have. Yeah, it becomes such a part of the narrative about these people that it's like.
You think everybody thinks like that.
Exactly. And I mean, the thing is, yes, there was ritualistic suicide in Japan. I'm not going to say it. And there was, like, this crazy, like, the kamikaze guys came out of, like, this whole 100% devotion, right, to worshiping the emperor as God and worshiping the country as infallible, right? And it's like nothing can be allowed to, that if, that Japan is destroyed if one white person's foot one lands on the sands of one of the four islands of Japan rather than the Pacific Islands. Like, there's this crazy stuff they were expected to believe and expected to go along with. And that is true, but to say that's an integral part of their character is like saying committing military suicide is an integral part of the American character because of the Alamo. It's just not.
Yeah. I just finished teaching the Alamo.
I know. That's why I brought it up. I thought this was the perfect opportunity.
Right. It's going to be interesting what the students do with their exam, their Alamo questions on the exam. But,
yeah. I mean, it's suggesting, like, trying to extrapolate that to being a meaningful thing about the entire character is just kind of crazy and kind of offensive.
Well, no, and actually, I hadn't even thought about that when I was watching it, but the Alamo is probably a pretty good comparison.
It's a 100% accurate comparison to how people look at the Kamikaze.
No, Matt, you know, what's his face? Santa Ana is never going to take the Alamo. Stupid assholes.
I know. Those guys could have gone home. You know, they could have just surrendered. They could have gone home. They could have let them have the Alamo. And they got the Alamo anyway.
Yeah, and waited to fight another day.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, so the idea to give Sam Houston a few extra weeks, you know. No, it didn't give Sam Houston a few extra weeks. No. Anyway, I don't want to go down the Alamo road. But it is actually not a bad comparison in terms of it's the American zeitgeist.
Yeah.
Right? That believes in this Japanese thing, not necessarily the Japanese zeitgeist anymore, because the emperor apologized, changed everything about what it meant to be an emperor in Japan.
Yep.
The whole culture did a 180
degree turn. Yeah.
A 180 degree turn. Now, you know, and a lot of them, for heaven's sakes, they're, a lot of them are Buddhists and the rest of it. And every now and then you'll see, why didn't they do the episode? Oh God, if they'd ever done that in Thailand or Japan, like where the Buddhists put themselves on fire, right?
I know. Well, I mean, there's 20 episodes left.
Yeah, maybe they'll get there.
We might get a burning monk yet.
And then we'll hear all about how Buddhists are really all okay with suicide. Never mind. But this, it was, and they made such mistakes about the forest.
Oh God, the forest stuff was just offensive. And by the way, try to imagine an episode from, right? And a bunch of people do hang themselves in that forest. 100% they do. But do you know what's just as likely for someone to hang themselves off of the in that forest is? An American person to jump off of the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah, it's the equivalent.
Mathematically speaking, it's exactly the same. So try to imagine an episode where a bunch of Spanish cops come to America and talk about how their almost religious fascination with throwing themselves off of the Golden Gate Bridge and talk about how that's significant to the American psyche that's obsessed with death. That is what this episode of television is like.
Yeah, I know. And the thing is if you want to hear about that forest, you're better off going and listening to, and I didn't bother looking up. I could probably, it's actually, if I open up my tablet, it's actually here. It's called The Unexplained Evil Places, and it's William Shatner's show, right?
Yeah.
And so they did a whole, I guess, half episode.
About the suicide forest.
About the particular forest, right? And of course, you had the paranormal guy talking about evil.
Of course.
But, and I would trust William Shatner's guys that went and looked into this. And it seems that the suicides in this particular forest started, like this became a place, right? After somebody wrote a novel.
Really?
And a Japanese novel, right?
Where
where the love-crossed or
star-crossed lovers.
Star-crossed lovers committed suicide.
Oh.
In that forest.
Interesting.
Is what they say there. And then they also talk about the fact that why do people who are depressed and the rest of it go to the forest and stuff like that? And why would it push them into suicide? And they talk about there's some sound levels that's coming off.
Because the low frequency sound thing about, I've read a bunch of stuff about low frequency sound actually having, very negative effects on, people's mental stability. So, okay. Yeah.
Okay. So they think that
infrasound, it's what it's called.
Yeah. And besides, how can they do this when the thing is they showed, they must have got a stock. This is all stock footage.
Yeah, of course.
But they showed the Japanese, there's this big placard, but there's also a helpline placard beside it.
That they left off. Oh, damn.
Talking about how people, they got, they do more. It's not like the Japanese people want people to go in here and commit suicide.
Absolutely.
Because they put up a don't go in here if you're feeling bad. And then if you have.
I had no idea that it was that much worse in the show than in real life. I mean, I guess I should have assumed, because the show gets everything wrong and is super prejudiced, but wow.
But they mention it in the show.
Yeah, no, they show the placard.
The placard and say, yes, and this is, don't go in there.
Yeah.
And I'm going, say what? Wow. Anyway, so go and watch The Unexplained Evil Places.
William Shatner does.
That William Shatner does. It's on, I think, probably History Channel or something.
Okay, and I'm sure it's streamable on one of those services.
It's William Shatner. What can
of course
I
it
say?
Is. Yeah.
It's the paranormal. What can you say? Right.
Absolutely. That's interesting though. I had no idea that they even have a help. Go to the Brooklyn, Golden Gate Bridge, and there's signs friggin' everywhere.
Yeah.
With suicide helplines. And by the way, one of the most disgusting things in the world is that, San Francisco considered putting up netting all along the side. And one of the committees in the city government said, but that would impede the our people being able to appreciate the beauty of the bridge.
Well, yeah, but that to bring up coronavirus, right? That's saying, well, yeah, so many people have to die. I mean, what the hell?
I know. I agree. It's disgusting.
Economy.
Well, no,
it's
but I mean, disgusting. I was very happy. I lived in Toronto for quite a while, and there was this bridge that I regularly crossed when I was going to Chinatown. When I was walking to Chinatown, and one year, they put up a bunch of just like wires, and it's like wires every half a foot going up from the top of the bridge to, 10 feet in the air. So it's like, and it's not, I mean, yes, someone could just climb the wires and jump over onto the freeway, but they're doing that little bit to try and discourage you and not to keep people from thinking, oh, I'll just jump as a spur of the moment thing, because that's often how it happens.
Yeah.
It really is, for people who commit suicide, a spur of the moment thing a lot of the time.
Yeah, and when you have that thing, right? Yeah. When you have that there, right? Then you have, because you have to do extra work.
The extra step is all it takes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why, by the way, 50% of all suicides in America involve guns that they had in the house.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have a gun in the house, you're hugely less likely to commit suicide because you don't have a chance to change your mind. And here's a fun fact. We're going to stop talking about suicide now because it is an episode about murder.
They weren't really suicides.
They weren't really suicides. Only the first two were. But I will say that just if you are having suicidal thoughts, right? Remember, there's always help. There are helplines. There are psychologists. There are toll-free numbers. And this is the key part. Every single person who has survived jumping off a bridge halfway down is like, oh my God, why did I jump off this bridge?
Yeah.
All of them. Okay. This is not like people don't jump off a bridge, survive, and then be like, you know what? I think I'm going to shoot myself. No, I'm not saying it fixes you and jump off a bridge to help, but they immediately, as they're falling, realize there were other better ways to deal with this situation than jumping off a bridge. And here's it's selection bias because we're looking at the people who survived, but you have to assume a lot of the people who successfully killed themselves also thought that on the way down. So whatever you're going through, there is a way to cope with it. There is a way to cope with it that isn't jumping off of something or otherwise killing yourself.
And all right. It just means telling your parents you never want to see them again. Feel free.
Do it. Friggin' do it.
Yeah. You know, that's the thing with an episode like this.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's almost like I almost want a suicide hotline at the end of play. It, right?
Well, I mean, the thing is, you were all talking about how like a book inspired all of those, the suicide forest, just a book. Well, look at what happened in America when they did that frigging 13 Reasons Why show and people started having copycat suicides. Like, this happens.
Yeah.
It's incredibly irresponsible to do fiction like this. And I know it sounds like I'm for censorship, but in this one situation, maybe I'm for censorship. How many freaking people have killed themselves because of Romeo and Juliet?
Yeah, jeez. Yes, I know.
Lots of real life people, often teenagers, have killed themselves because they read Romeo and Juliet and thought that was a perfect end to their tragic teenage romance.
And then there's the ode to Billy Joe. We still don't know why Billy Joe jumped off to Tallahatchie Bridge. And she ain't telling us.
Or Marcia. Billy Joe McAllister. I remember that song.
Jumped off to
Tallahatchie Bridge. I know that song. Don't worry. Anyway,
everybody go look up Ode to Billy Joe, one of the classic.
So as you can tell, we were offended as the last 20 minutes after we were offended by the cavalier depiction of suicide and suicidal ideation in this episode.
Well, in Japan,
specifically.
Like, yes, the Japanese love suicide somehow or another. Are you kidding?
No.
Oh, and they put it back. That was the funny thing, is that they put it back to, that they used to take their old people and put them out to die, old people didn't want to because they were useless. And I'm going, oh, God almighty.
I know. Again, but it's like, it's this stuff about that the show does about condemning the barbaric cultural practices. Of other countries. And it's like of every country but America. God damn this show.
By the way, it's now up to 68 million people or something. Leave what? The safety of American.
Okay, I know. Leave the borders. Safety of the America's borders every year. Oh, God. Well, no, but I mean, even the title of the show, because it's beyond borders in the sense that it's outside of America, but it's also, the implication is there are prescribed ways in which you're supposed to live. And these foreigners go beyond them. And maybe I'm reading into their intention, but I don't think I am.
Oh, I don't know. I don't think they're smart enough to figure that one out.
Okay. So you're saying there might not be double meaning in the title Beyond
Borders. No. I can see double meaning in it, but I'm not sure that the people who
meant the double meaning.
Yeah, they meant the double meaning in it. You know, it's possible. Until you start watching this, as I said, three out of the first four are episodes about these barbaric cultural practices that turn people into serial killers. Well,
yeah.
Oh my.
And so is the sixth one. So there you go.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Yeah. We'll get to Belize. Yes, but it's not exactly the parents. Well,
oh, no. This time, you're right. In every other episode, it's someone trying to like honor their parents or ancestors through brutal murder as you say, three of the first four episodes.
You know, I'm going, okay, you guys, do you not see that you've got a pattern here?
Not just a pattern, but it's like, you're telling the exact same story every time.
You know, and no discussion of these horrible people who are coming in, right, with their hedge fund money.
Oh, I know. God.
You know?
And just and internationalizing and gentrifying the thing. It's like, God, it's so disgusting what these people do to these what do you call it? These important parts of their both history and culture. And they just, you know, as you say, badger in with this huge amount of money and bowl them all over.
Oh, it was just god awful. It was a god awful episode. I thought, you know, I mean, we do have a love of Japanese culture to some extent. Well, I mean, there are so many things, and the type of Buddhism they practice, there are a couple of things that you could go, there's, and it is on YouTube, Zen Buddhism in Japan. It's fascinating. Okay. And then other types of, like, there's the land Buddhism, anyway, that came over from China, but there's all sorts of things that you can go and see these cultures, and how we should be interested in other cultures, not condemning other cultures because they don't think like we do. It's like
not only condemning them, but assuming the worst about them.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I'm sorry, but people who live in glass houses, as they say, shouldn't throw stones.
Yeah, America's got its own issues, people.
You know,
America has a non-insignificant number of issues.
And as I would say, and I don't know who greenlit this. I mean, yeah, what was the, shocking. They had to have done a Bible, right? Oh, yeah. At some point.
Yeah, explaining what the premise of the show.
Did Bible?
And say what this show was going to be. Honestly, like, it's madness. No, but you're right. It's madness that this show ever got made. And the fact that there's two seasons of
air?
It got on air.
Episodes.
Well, yeah, and it's mid-season both times. But still, the fact that they actually made, that someone watched these six episodes. Just these six episodes. I mean, because sometimes, by the way, sometimes TV shows get six episodes into production, and then for whatever reason, they decide not to go forward with it. So there's television shows that made six episodes that never aired. Right? And you could have done that, like, with this show. You could have looked at these six episodes and say, what are we doing? Let's just take the loss. Give Gary Sinise his money to go away.
Because I will tell you, if you go on Rotten Tomatoes, if you go on Metacritics.com, if you go, you know, they all called it out. Like, we're not the only ones calling out this show.
Yeah, everybody knew how awful this was.
After I, you know, after I kind of started watching it, I went and kind of looked at the
review,
Wikipedia
the
page, and then you
and
look
such.
At the contemporary, the Metacritics in particular, you know, xenophobic trash.
It's one of these things where it's not just hindsight. It's like the Song of the South. Yeah, everyone at the time knew it was racist. Like, this isn't later on, we're like, how did people ever do this? No, at the time, people were like, this is the most racist trash I've ever seen.
Like, how can you, in 2000, and what was it, 16, 17?
Yes, no, 15, 16. Oh, no, 15 16. Was the pilot.
Yeah.
15 was the pilot. Then 16
and 17. Yeah. Put this show on the air.
It's madness.
Well, it's also the time when Donald Trump got elected president, so...
It is really hard to, like, fathom how awful 2016 was, because this show was on the air while Donald Trump was running for president, talking about how awful foreign countries were. And I'm not saying Gary Sinise is at fault for being elected.
No.
But, I mean, I know he's a right-wing kind of creep, but I don't think he's at fault, but it just tells you about what was the cultural zeitgeist of America in 2016.
That they could put this show
on
the air.
They could put this on the air.
Yeah.
And
by the way, Gary Sinise does have a foundation that helps out vets.
I'm very glad to hear that.
Yeah.
But so does George W. Bush, and he's a scumbag too. So I don't know. Like, I'm just saying, Gary Sinise is still publicly a Republican, okay? Yeah. Honorable people have left that party. So you can't, like, you know.
I know.
George Bush has all but left that party.
Yeah, George Bush has all but left that party. He wants nothing to do. Well, George Bush Sr. didn't even want
Trump at his funeral. Yeah, exactly. So it's like, I'm sorry, you got to be pretty far gone to still be in the Republican Party. Mm-hmm. Guys, you can want tax breaks for rich people without being a monster.
Yeah.
You know?
Anyway,
you
want to
keep
you
your guns without being a monster.
But I think it was just the way it treated Japan, like this.
Oh no, it's
turning
especially
it into,
awful.
This was just. Shall we move on to Paris?
No, no. Well, let's actually talk a little bit about the episode. Okay. So anyway, they realize all the people who committed suicide, quote unquote, who were murdered with fake suicides. Every single one of them had a connection to this plot of land that the rich guys who were victimized at the start of the episode were buying up. So they're like, okay, well, who was the first real victims? Oh, this family killed themselves. Oh, they had a ne'er-do-well son. Who was probably triggered by that and made them all fake commit suicide to, you know, to get revenge and also, like, give them honorable deaths? Like, I didn't, like, he wanted to make sure they were honorable deaths. Why, though, you hate these people? Why do you want to make sure there are honorable deaths? And then, you have a big problem with the episode because we're expected to believe that this guy can sneak around with no one noticing him. A hulking, like a giant, like really long-legged and armed hulking guy with foot-long hair and a messed-up face was able to walk into the nicest hotel in Japan, apparently, and get up to a guy's apartment and throw him out a window without anybody noticing that that was happening. Like, how did he get past the front desk? How did he even get in a service entrance? Like, people who even work at this hotel, I'm sure, are dressed to the nines. It's an incredibly nice rich people hotel. So the idea that this crazy giant monster looking guy was able to freely walk around any of the places he killed people in just seems bizarre. So yeah, like, when you finally see what the guy looks like, you're like, nope, I don't believe he would have gotten in the door half the places he killed people.
And of course he listened to hard
metal. Oh, of course he listened to metal. He's, you know, he's a crazy murderer. They all listen to metal. I've seen television. but actually, there's a funny part at the end of the episode, and I thought they were going to do something interesting. Because they're like, the guns were completely outlawed in Japan in the 1970s. And as they say, the parents were able to kill themselves because they had a leftover gun from World War II, because the dad was in World War II. And it was an heirloom, and that's what he killed himself with. And then at the end of the episode, right, they're like, he might be armed then, because maybe the dad had other guns. And then the episode, the guy has set someone on fire. Honestly, not that badly. The guy gets put out within 10 seconds. I'm sure he's fine. I mean, yeah.
He was in the hospital.
Okay, you're right.
He was going to be fine. He was going to be a while, but, you know.
He will be fine. Which is, you know, good. I mean, blood clots are always a danger if you've been set on fire. But, you know, largely it's survivable with the kind of burns that guy seemed to have.
Well, these days it is.
Yes, obviously. No, yes. But your father also had, you know, molten metal burns, which is a lot worse than having a little gasoline sprayed on you and someone throwing a match. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that scalds all the way down. It's horrific. But anyway, the point is, so at the end of the episode, he's got a gun and he makes Garrison shoot him. And I thought they were going to do something clever, which is the gun is clearly a modern pistol made well after 1972. So it can't be. So I thought they were going to say because he was, you know, a locked in his room nerd character, had a fake gun, which are, you know, prevalent, very prevalent in Japan. Like, the world's number one fake gun maker is Japanese. They love fake guns in Japan. I thought the point it was going to be was that he only had a fake gun and Gary Sinise in the crowd was never in danger. He just wanted Gary Sinise to shoot him so that it would be a suicide by cop to wrap up his plan. Yeah. But the show does not do that. And I'm like, oh, that would have been so smart. It would have been so smart. It would have referenced his nerd fixation. It would have talked about Japanese culture and how hard it is to get a gun here. And it would have just said, yeah, of course he couldn't have had also a real gun. It's Japan. You can't get guns. So the one that his parents used to kill themselves would have been like the only gun in that part of the, city. Like, it's really hard to get a gun in Japan. But it's really easy to get a fake gun. And I thought that would have been such a nice touch. It would have said something about Japan, and it would have been like, oh, okay, so he wanted Gary Sinise to kill him, and this was all his endgame. But for whatever reason, they don't do that. Suicide by cop.
Oh, well, you know why they don't do that. They're all Second Amendment people.
That's true.
They're all part of the NRA and the Second Amendment people. Come on.
I know. All right, let's move on to Paris. So a man is brutally killing white American ladies in Paris. And we're expected to believe that women in Paris are super careless about their own safety. Just unbelievably careless about their own safety. Like, shockingly, unbelievably careless about their... Like, you know, just because you're in a foreign country doesn't mean you're, like, super down with the unbelievably creepy gypsy cab driver. You know, they have real cabs you can take in that country. You don't have to get into a gypsy cab driven by a creep who has real trouble, talking to and being near people.
And if you're an American...
Yes.
And you have loads and loads of money because she's managed to rent an apartment for 3 months.
She's renting an apartment for 3 months. Oh, my God. Or weeks.
3 months.
But something like that. Some huge amount of time. Like, you've got plenty of money. Call whatever their equivalent of Uber is. Like, the fact that just some weird guy is stopping on the side of the road to tell you to get into his cab. I'm like, am I crazy? I've never been a white woman in a foreign country, but I feel like I would hesitate.
Well, let me put it this way. You see, the thing is that she's been watching Criminal Minds. And she thinks that these things only happen in America.
In America.
But they happen in Paris.
Apparently.
Oh, Lord. There were so many things. And, I mean, I have my own problems with Paris, as I have always said.
Talked about here on the show, in fact.
I will never go to Paris again because I figure... I'll be dead.
But it's like you were told, like, Paris told you all you needed to know about Paris the time you were in Paris, and you have no interest in going back.
Well, no, I've been there twice, right?
Yeah.
First time was, second time was, oh my God. Third time
you've two strikes. That's it.
Yeah, two strikes. I'm smart enough to know.
To not go for that third one.
But that's just me, right? And it's just absolutely. One of these little superstition things. Wrong place at the wrong time. But nevertheless, we've talked about that. But what really got to me, like, I'm just listening to this. Everything about this show just drives me. I mean, this is like a normal Criminal Minds episode. This could have been done in, this could have been done anywhere. First of all, you know, but what really got, it's the interaction between the team.
Yeah.
And the Parisian
cops,
the French cops, for God's sake. I mean, I am one of the last people that goes, because they are such arrogant little, you know what, sometimes, you know, we have our own problems, right? You sit there. These people are, as they say, they started things like forensic science. They were doing an awful lot of stuff, set the foundations for things like, I hate to say psychoanalysis, but all of that sort of stuff. And yes, they go way out in the limbs sometimes, but these are not idiots.
No.
And the show, you know, treats this, the one guy, right?
I know. Like he's a buffoon. Yeah.
Like somehow or another, and when he does the meeting, did you ever think that there might be a reason why they're telling the French public about this? Because I will tell you, did I talk about this when I...
Yeah, you did. Time? About how you informed, it's like how when you were attacked, you know, the cops were everywhere.
The cops, but it wasn't just, and I must have talked about that apartment building. And that was in the 70s, right? And that apartment building where there had been about 6 or 7 women raped. And nobody had bothered to tell anybody that there was a rapist who was attacking women in the garage of this apartment building.
Yeah.
And it created such a big stink, it's like, no, you have to tell people. Yes, they have, you know, part of it is, of course, the tourism and the rest of it. And I'm just going... Get off it. Just get off it. Yeah, so, and then having him say, well, I guess you were right, he ditched his car. Well, that's not the point. So Gary Sinise is willing to have other women killed.
Yeah.
Rather than alert the populace that they're American women, that there is someone out there targeting them.
Yep. He's willing to risk that. Also, I don't know why, like, they've got a basic physical description of the guy. They know he's a big, a big muscular, like, Frenchman who's really, who they assume is really awkward with people. Like, they have at least a partial description. They got a look at his silhouette in the photo of the car. So, like, they have some idea of his body shape, but that's not in there at all. And you think the woman who has the unbelievably creepy tow truck driver turn up would, I mean, maybe she didn't see the news broadcast, maybe. But the fact that there are women running around getting murdered by, like, women getting murdered by this guy, you'd think she would be a little more hesitant, because he's killing a couple of women a day. Why is the whole city not shut down if a couple of women a day are being killed? That is unheard of. Like, when they shot up Charlie Hebdo, they shut down the whole city until they caught this guy. If a couple of women a day are being brutally murdered and torn to pieces, and they know it's a gypsy cab driver, and they've got a description of the car, why don't they just shut down the whole city until they find this guy?
Well, because then Gary Sinise wouldn't be able to.
Has nothing to do. Yeah, no, that's true.
You know, and the same thing. And the same thing with I don't know with their coroner, right?
Yeah.
Discovering
the extra.
I was just
oh my god, she must have been in a cab. There were like she broke her heels. She broke her heel, but she supposedly walked home. Why aren't her feet scuffed up? She must have taken a cab.
You think that the French
wouldn't have noticed that? Again, like look up Bertillon. Like, these guys literally invented, it's not a hyperbole, they literally invented forensic medicine, and they take that stuff incredibly seriously.
Look, here's something that I haven't mentioned before. This will tell, I don't think I've mentioned it before. I've probably mentioned it to you. But when I was in France and I was pregnant, they did all the blood work. And I got this super, because we're in the diplomatic corps, right? You get all the highfalutin guys, right?
Yeah, of course.
Private clinic, the whole thing, government paid the shots.
The whole
nine yards,
yeah.
The whole nine yards, right? And so they did the blood test. And he told me, he says, you do not have enough immunity to toxoplasmosis.
Okay.
And so he told me, it's not that you can't eat them when they're cooked, but you cannot prepare any more potatoes, onions, carrots, anything. You cannot go anywhere near them. If you have a cat, and our cat had run away by then, so we didn't anymore. but if you have a cat, you cannot go anywhere near the cat's litter box. Somebody else has to do that.
Yeah.
I had all of these rules because I didn't have enough immunity to toxoplasmosis.
Right.
And if I got toxoplasmosis, it will cause severe deformities. So,
right.
And then we moved to Australia while I was pregnant. And then, I saw the highfalutin doctor in Australia, right? And so I was telling him all of this, and he did new blood work, and he looked at all my charts and stuff that I brought with me from France. He says, well, he says, I think you probably do have enough. And he says, but he says, the French, he said, they discovered this.
So they take it seriously.
Really taking it seriously. He said, but, and I said, yeah, but I've already gone like 7 months
without doing it. I think I can go the 3 more months.
Yeah. Well, it turned out it was 2.5, 3, almost 3 months. But
yeah, I can go the 2.5, 3 months without it. Thanks very much.
Yeah.
No, and that's funny, but that's just how it is. It's like the French take this stuff seriously. Also, by the way, I mean, easiest case in the world to solve. And they wouldn't have solved it if they'd never have solved the case if the guy hadn't, left tools at the crime scene and as a murder weapon that directly told them who the killer was.
Yeah, like,
Like, he gouged, like, he stuck in a woman's eyes, right? He stuck these woodworking tools that had the logo on him of his family's woodworking business. And then they literally just go up to that family. Okay, well, does anyone connected to this business? A crazy murderer? And it's like 5 minutes later, oh yeah, there's this guy with a, you know, violent psychopath who was institutionalized until just before the murder started. Oh, well, thank heavens he left these tools at the crime scene, or we never would have solved it.
Yeah, you think the French couldn't have done that?
Excuse I know, of me. Course the French could have done that. They are the best at this.
You know, you're sort of sitting there going, and then I'm watching. Although,
and just FYI, people, we're not being hyperbolic about this. Like, Sherlock Holmes is based on an actual French guy. The first guy, and I'm blanking his name right now. There was a movie about him that Gerard Depardieu played him. So if you can track down very easily in the early 2000s. But the point is, like, the actual Sherlock Holmes was inspired, like, so the real Sherlock Holmes was a Frenchman who's just like, no, we can't just start locking up the people we don't like. We have to follow forensic evidence to figure out who did it. You know? And it's like, that was a real person. And it was all France.
Yeah.
So yeah, like, the idea that Americans have to come in to help French people with crimes is ludicrous. If you know anything about the history of this stuff.
Oh, God only knows when they get it. I'm sure they're going to get to Italy at some point. Oh, but anyway, never mind.
Of course they are. Although Italy has its own problems with.
Well, yeah, I was going to. Well, we'll say. No, we're going to.
We'll save that for the Italy episode.
When we get to the episode, I'm sure they're going to go to Italy.
They're incredibly corrupt there. That's my little clue.
Yeah.
Anyway. Let's move on to Belize.
I just have one more thing to complain about. Belize. This woman, right, that he was fixated on.
Worst victim in, like, most idiotic victim in the world?
She is an art therapist. Yep. She was working with him for a couple of years or whatever. Yep.
Yeah.
And she didn't know, number one, he was fixated on her and that was a problem. That I would say right there. She should have never let him in the door when he showed up.
I know.
Number one. But number two, why didn't she play into his
delusion? She knows to play into his delusion. Why does she? Yes, that was my big problem with the end of the episode, too.
This is her business.
A professional. You know that this man is delusional and obsessed with you. All you have to do is play along with his delusion.
Until somebody comes to save you.
Or you have a chance to slash his throat after he falls asleep.
Yeah.
You know, 6-1. You know?
My good Lord. I mean, there's, as I said, if you wonder to our listeners, if you wonder why we're trashing this show all the time, outside of being racist and everything, or xenophobic, et cetera, don't ever have any idea about any of the cultures that they're looking at.
Yeah.
You know, and then they still commit the stupidities that we complain about in Criminal Minds.
Oh, yeah.
On top of
the exact same mistakes.
But then again, she wasn't American,
so
you know, maybe she watched Criminal Minds too.
Just doesn't think this is going to happen in France.
Yes, but we have to be afraid to go outside of our borders.
I've heard that every year 68 million Americans leave the safety of America's borders.
Do you think they're going to do an episode on Canada?
Oh, God, I hope they do an episode on Canada. That would be amazing if they did an episode on Canada. Oh, that would be my favorite episode of television ever. I'm not going to lie.
They think we all speak French or whatever.
Yeah, or something crazy like that. They go to Quebec City and find someone who has been, like, murdered based on the worship of Catholic saints or something ridiculous like that. That would be amazing. That would make me so happy.
Then I want Joe there.
Oh, God, yeah. That
to
would
tell
be,
us. To tell
to
us.
Explain
it's
Catholicism.
Not the religion. It's the people.
I know. All right, so. But yeah, no, the fact that the woman doesn't know to frigging play along with this crazy person.
That's beyond me.
No, it's completely, it beggars belief.
Yeah.
Because it's like, this is your frigging job.
Yeah, this is your job. This is what you do.
professionally is you deal, and you know he's a dangerous maniac who's hurt people before.
And you have to be good at the job to have been hired in France.
Yeah.
You have to have been good at your job because the French, of course, too. I mean, in psychotherapy, not that I agree with an awful lot of stuff, but never mind.
But no, they take it seriously.
You know, I'm sort of sitting here going, are you crazy? Anyway, the whole episode, you know, so.
Yeah, no, it's a terrible episode.
We have defended France left, right, and center.
But let's move on to Belize, where, guess what? It turns out ancient cultural practices lead people to murder again.
Again, and it wasn't the Mayans, it was the Aztecs.
Oh, secretly it was an Aztec, not a Mayan. And I just love that they're like, wait a minute, he's not a Mayan, he's an Aztec. That must mean he's like, he comes from a different part of the Central America. I'm like, Jesus Christ, this show. Because people can only become obsessed with a part within a culture that their specific ancestors were a part of.
You know, it's like, oh, lordy, lordy, lordy.
I know. It's ludicrous.
I suspect I'm going to be laughing through these all episodes.
It's hard
they
not
are
to.
So absurd. We've had six now.
Yeah. And every one of them has its own level of just, what are you doing, show?
What are you doing? Who the hell have you got in here? Obviously, they have got nobody who knows anything about any of these cultures.
No.
They're obviously reading something like somebody's read some novel about some place.
No, I think it's like literally just like they've gone to a website about like weird things that happen in France, weird things that happen in, you know, Central America, the bloodiest stuff that the Aztecs have done. And they just like pick and choose weird stuff. And they're like, okay, we'll do an episode about that. And they extrapolate that to speaking to the entire culture of a place. And it's horrible.
It is horrendous.
It is. Like, it really is. It's disgusting. This episode, a couple is kidnapped and the husband is killed and the wife wants to be turned into a bride. He wants to turn the wife into a bride. Yes, the wife, his third bride. And they track it down a completely traditional way. Just looking into other similar crimes that have happened, and they find two other cases of people being honeymoons, where both honeymooners disappeared in Belize. And the funny part is when I'm watching the episode, right? And it just, it weirded me out so much, is the idea that they would this casually be able to find, like, corpses dumped in the ocean. He's like, oh, he was down by the docks. That means he must have dumped the body in the ocean. Yeah, well, let's just go immediately find this body that was... Do you know how big the ocean is? Like,
And they haven't heard of tides?
Yeah, that too, but it's like... So they find one body, which I guess maybe we can say something like, oh, I guess it floated up a little because it had been recently dumped or whatever, right? But then Matt's like, don't worry, I'll get a bunch of divers together and we'll go find the rest of the bodies. And within a couple of hours, they have found two other skeletons without any trouble at all. Apparently the skeletons were just lying around and not at all difficult to find. And I don't know why. That seemed preposterous to me. Like, did he dispose of them all in the exact same place or something ridiculous like that?
And weighted them down so that no tide would affect them, no storm would affect them.
Yeah.
This is hurricane.
Yeah, this is the kind of territory. Place where they get hurricanes. But no, the really easy to find. So anyway, they just look for people with a connection and they find that and this is a situation where they assume that motive and MO will determine who did it. And that works for them because they're like, okay, well, Is there any reason he would want to get revenge on these couples? His wife was killed by a couple on on their honeymoon. So he's like, okay, so I'm going to steal brides for myself from other honeymooning couples and blah, blah. And that's his motivation. And it's also how they catch them. And there's the one thing that really bothers me, which is the line in there where they say that, well, the main girl we rescued this time should be fine, but I don't know, those Stockholm ladies, who have had kids with him, they're not going to be able to recover. I'm like, what? Are you kidding?
It's not even been that long.
Yeah, like, it's not, I mean, yeah, it's been a couple of years, but, like, there are people who have been the, you know, victims of these guys for like a decade who recover 100%. I mean, I hate to keep going back to the tent girl that we talk about all the time, but that girl who was friggin' kept in a tent for 8 years and had kids with this guy. You know what? She's fine now. I mean, I'm sure she still has nightmares. I'm sure it's still awful, but the idea that you can't recover from being held as a slave by somebody for 3 or 4 years or 5 years? No, that's madness.
Yeah, it just assumes that these two girls don't have the intestinal fortitude that Morgan's sister had.
Yes, exactly. Or, like, by the way,
cousin or whatever.
His cousin,
was.
Morgan's cousin. By the way, Morgan's cousin, also fine.
Yeah, you know. And when you looked at these two women, it wasn't like they looked like they were in love with the guy or happy.
No, they were freaked out to be there. They've always been freaked out to be there.
They don't want to be there, but they get raped. And then when they get pregnant, they have kids. So they take care of their kids. That's fine. And they can love their kids and the rest of it. And so,
and by the way, I'm sure they're locked up. I'm sure they're locked up when he's asleep, you know, because I'm always like, dear people in this situation, once he falls asleep, slit his throat. That is my one piece of advice to you. It has a near 100% success rate. But guys like this, you know, women are locked up when they're asleep. You know, they don't take chances.
No, you saw that. There was no way she could get out of the house.
No, exactly. And it's the same with the other women, I'm sure. Like, I'm 100% sure it's exactly the same with the other women. So
he does all the shopping. He does everything.
They never get to leave. Honestly, they should have been a lot paler. But that's a whole other conversation.
Well, maybe
that's a conversation about makeup.
He has a backyard that's got...
Well, we know he has a backyard because he was barbecuing human hearts back there. Yeah, although we do have the hilarious scene. I don't know why, but Matt spent a bunch of this episode just driving around on a motorcycle. And I'm like, get a car, dude. Like, get
he
a nice
takes
or a
his motorcycle
go
everywhere
with him.
With
I know he
they
shouldn't
take it on the friggin' plane,
and they shouldn't.
Well, of course,
like that's a bad idea. But anyway, I'm like, dude, don't do that. You're like, you're asking for trouble. But it's so funny to see the beautiful verdant like photography and the stock footage of how gorgeous Belize is. And then cut to Daniel Henney on a motorcycle driving around the arid wasteland that is Southern California.
No.
I don't remember a lot of, you know, barren rock piles in Belize. Oh, God. Yeah, it's like, it's not a desert wasteland, guys. That if it was, so many people wouldn't be going on their honeymoons there. But yeah, it's a pretty questionable episode. And I mean, I think the stuff that it's not as offensive, I think, as the France stuff or the Japanese stuff. It is very offensive. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going easy on this show suddenly. It is very offensive. Just the idea that, oh yeah, no, obviously this guy who had completely, I'm not going to say justified, but completely understandable desire for revenge, right? And he was probably already a messed up person. I understand why he would turn to, you know, Baroque murder, but the fact that they are able to decide that the way he would Baroque murder would tie in directly to his ancestors, because, and again, it's this implication, when a guy who's freaking Swedish in origin loses his wife on Criminal Minds, he doesn't go and start committing Viking-style murders because his ancestors were Vikings. But it, that is what happens on every friggin' episode of Beyond Borders. They all commit murders that are associated with their ancestors because, and this is the thing, it is the theme of the show and the thesis of the show that people from foreign countries are less civilized than Americans. So when an American suffers a hardship, he just starts stabbing women to death. But when a foreign when a foreign man suffers hardship, like, he has to commit crimes that are closer to his ancestors because he is a more primitive, less civilized person.
Human being, yes.
Yes, and that is the whole thesis of this show. That is the message of this show, week in, week out. And out of six episodes, that has been the plot of five of them. The only one is the France one. This is a guy who just, although even the French one, we didn't even mention, kills women based on turns of phrase. Like, okay, I don't see what that has to do with anything, but he was killing women based on popular turns of phrase. Is that relevant? No. But even there, they had to tie it into, there was an understandable theme to his murders. But to be fair, it wasn't like he was beheading women because of the terror, you know, because his ancestors. Oh my God, don't you see? He's, you know, Danton's great, 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 great grandson. And he's committing crimes, you know, to avenge his great, 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 great grandfather, Danton, and his death in the terror. Like, they didn't do that. They could have done that. They didn't do that. Oh, God. I mean, this show is bonkers.
Only because nobody thought of it.
You're right. Okay, yes, I guess that's the
only
real reason.
Only because nobody thought of it.
Because I wasn't in that writer's room, or they would have done a friend of the terror / Danton murder. Well, thank heavens for small favors, right?
Yeah, they just couldn't figure a way
to tie this all together.
Yeah. Probably none of them have taken history, so they're...
Oh, I guarantee none of them have taken history.
Any history courses or any religion courses or any cultural courses other than...
Oh my God.
Texas.
This man's throat was slit in a bathtub. It must be a recreation of the death of, you know, Marat. It's okay. I'll stop making jokes about French history now. Oh, it's terrible.
Oh my!
I know. It's nothing at all to it, right? It's just weird though, and I will say that this is probably something to think about. And I'm not saying everyone working on the show is racist, but is it accidental that the first time that these people have, like, said that a guy can have a motive not related to his ancestors, it's a white guy?
Yeah.
Like, do you think that's a coincidence? Or, like, is it just reinforcing the thoughts we already have about this show?
Well, let me put it this way.
Yeah.
Okay. That we will take our time.
And we will analyze all 26 episodes.
Yeah, but you're probably onto something there.
All right. Well, we're going to keep watching and we'll see what happens.
Because France is part of Western culture.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like Western thought, Western culture. You know, all of our best philosophers are French. Well, most of our best philosophers are French. Not all of them. I'm not delusional. But anyway, we will see. All right. So I guess that's where we're going to wrap it up this week. Where do you have a list of where people are visiting next week on episodes 7 through 9?
Just a minute. Let me go. No. Let me double check. I didn't pull it up, but it's worth actually. And then we could try and figure out. Okay, so Criminal Minds Beyond Borders, the TV series, 2016 and then 2017. Yeah. So we will go and look at 2016.
Well, I think what interests me is...
Okay, now, Yeah. Just wait.
Oh. No, go.
So we've got something called, oh God, Citizens of the World.
Okay.
So I,
no idea where that one's set, because how could we?
Oh, yes, I do, and I'm horrified at the thought of it. Morocco.
Oh, no. Okay.
And then we have De Los Inocentes.
Oh, was that one set in Mexico?
Of course.
Of course.
And then we have The Matchmaker.
Oh, well, that's not a reference to any specific culture or country.
No.
That's a twist.
Just wait a sec. It's
Please.
Set in Turkey.
Oh, okay.
Now, the international response team suspects she's in trouble after being tricked by someone posing as her boyfriend.
Who is in trouble?
The American girl who leaves her home.
Okay, you didn't tell me that part. You didn't say the first part of the thing.
This is hilarious.
Okay, please.
Okay. When an American girl leaves home to meet her boyfriend in Turkey, the international response team suspects she's in trouble after being tricked by someone posing as her boyfriend. Are
wow,
you telling me she did not know what her boyfriend looked like?
Well, no. I mean, it would have been entirely with text messages.
Like,
he would have lured her via, yeah, exactly. He would have lured her in using text messages.
And that's a bad, yeah. And then we go to South Africa.
Well, no, you can stop listing. We're only covering the ones for now.
Oh my God.
No, stop. Do not get ahead of our, stop. We're not getting ahead of ourselves. Shh. All right. So next week we're going to be covering episodes 7 through 9. Watch them along with us if you dare, although I cannot encourage you to do so. It would be unethical for me to encourage you to actually watch them along with us.
I do not want you to have to pay for any of this.
There you go.
This is not worth spending a single penny on. We had to,
but
we are completists.
Yeah, we are journalists in this question. We are academics. We are providing some kind of a service. So,
but don't pay for it. If you have to pay for it, if you can't get them from your local library for nothing, yeah, or borrow them from somebody else who's a completist on Criminal Minds. Yeah. But other than that, we cannot
advise you to see this show.
I don't think they're on now. Unless, are they on?
They don't seem to be on any streaming services, which is weird. All right, so we're going to cut it here. Thanks for coming on this journey with us.
I had one thing.
Oh, we have one more thing. Okay,
go
on.
I just have this thing that I have to say.
Say it then.
There is no such thing as an international response team.
Well, of course there isn't.
No, but you never know. Because there is a real FBI.
And there is a real BAU.
And there is a real BAU. Okay, so people might think there actually is a real international response team.
Okay, well, I mean, there isn't, no. And actually, I do understand your point there, because there were people who were confused by the show 24 into thinking that the CIA also operated offices inside America. So you are not crazy to have needed to point that out.
Can you imagine if people hate Americans now without it? Can you imagine if they had one of these?
Oh, I know. I know. It's terrifying. All right. So that's that. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We'll see you back here next week. As you heard, for more of this, it should be a blast.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's so absurd that I can't help but laugh. It's
sometimes. It's offensive, but you have to laugh to keep from crying.
It's so offensive that you cannot believe, I cannot believe after these first 6 episodes that
anyone
went
to air. Yeah. Oh, no, it's shocking and disgusting. All right, so we will see you back here next week for more. We hope you have a great week between now and then. Thursday, we're going to be back for more episodes of Season 12, and we'll see you back here next Tuesday for Episodes 7 through 9. If you have any questions for us, if you have any comments, if you have your own favorite profiling-related fiction you'd like us to check out, please drop us a line at profilingcriminalminds@gmail.com. And we would love to hear from you. Oh, and if you're listening to this on any sort of a podcast client, be sure to give us a review, because that helps people find the show. We'll see you back here next week. But until then, I'm going to say au revoir.
And have a good weekend.
Profiling Criminal Minds is a member of the Kinks Podcasting Network.